We're in Daniel 9. Some people say that the last four verses of Daniel 9 are the most significant for biblical prophecy. Some people say that they're the most difficult verses to understand in the book of Daniel or in the Old Testament. My intention is to go slow enough that I'm not telling you what it means, but rather you're seeing it yourself. You've been told things, I've been told things, you know, in different places in our years in the church or in Bible education. But when you're told something, it doesn't necessarily stick as well. It doesn't necessarily, it's not necessarily as convincing. We're going to not read the lengthy prayer in the middle of Daniel 9 for the sake of focus. This morning I want to be focusing on the prophecy, the answer to the prayer. But if somebody would read, we're going to take two readers. If somebody would read verses 1 through 3, and then someone could read 20 through 27. Last week, we were looking at 20 through 24. We focused on verse 24. So today and next week, we're going to be looking at 25, 26, and 27. And you know that that's slower than our normal pace. We're usually covering more than a verse, verse and a half in a class. But it's because it is so foundational to other prophecy, especially like the book of Revelation. In fact, remember I said before, I wouldn't let you read Matthew 24 until you get this down? Well, I wouldn't let you read Revelation either. You'd have to you'd get to the book of Revelation in the Todd Bolan printing press Bible, and you'd turn past 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and then Jude, and then where Revelation is, there would be a tear-out order form, and you'd have to certify that you've read and understood Daniel, mail it in, and then it would be sent to you in the mail. Which is to say that there's a lot in Revelation that's easy to misunderstand if you haven't looked at what the writer of Revelation thought you should have understood, including and especially Daniel. Okay, so who would read verses 1 through 3? Okay.
In the first year of Darius, son of Ahasuerus, of the sixth, he made king over the kingdom of the Chaldeans. In the first year of his reign, Daniel, observed in the book the number of the years which were revealed in the word of the Lord of Jeremiah the prophet for the completion of the desolation of Jerusalem, namely 70 years. So I gave my attention to the Lord God to seek him by prayer and supplication with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes.
And then who will read 20 through the end?
20 to 24.
We'll start with 20.
Okay. While I was speaking and praying, confessing my sins and the sin of my people Israel, and making my request to the Lord my God for his holy hill, while I was still in prayer, Gabriel, the man I had seen in the earlier vision, came to me in swift flight about the time of the evening sacrifice. He instructed me and said to me, Daniel, I have now come to give you insight and understanding. As soon as you began to pray, an answer was given, which I have come to tell you, for you are highly esteemed. Therefore, consider the message and understand the vision. 77s are decreed for your people and your holy city to finish transgression, to put an end to sin, to atone for wickedness, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know and understand this. From the issuing of the decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until the ruler comes, there will be 7 sevens and 62 sevens. It will be rebuilt with streets and a trench, but in times of trouble. After the 62 sevens, the anointed one will be cut off and will have nothing. The people of the ruler who will come will destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end will come like a flood. War will continue until the end and desolations have been decreed. He will confirm a covenant with many for 1/7. In the middle of the seven, he will put an end to sacrifice and offering, and on a wing of the temple. He will set up an abomination that causes desolation until the end that is decreed is poured out on him.
Thank you. So the background is Daniel has been in exile for 70 years. He knows the prophecy of Jeremiah is that the exile will last 70 years. Furthermore, Babylon has fallen. So he is anticipating the restoration. And thus he prays and confesses his sin and the sin of his people. In response to that prayer, an angel comes and gives him an answer. Okay, so should all be on the edge of our chairs. I mean, what is the answer? What is God going to say about the restoration? And the answer is verses 24 through 27. In 24, we looked at it last week, it tells us the purpose of the 77s. Now, remember, we talked about the seven is, it could be a period of 7 days. That's a normal use. A week of days. It could be 70 weeks. It would be just over a year. That's possible. When you read the rest of it here, that doesn't make sense. It doesn't seem like, because you're going to have, you have to have the temple rebuilt and then destroyed. And then rebuilt again. And that's not all going to happen. You can't do that in just over a year. So, another possibility, another legitimate use for a seven is a period of, not of 7 days, but of 7 years. So we're talking, and this is what I think everybody, I don't know anyone who doesn't agree with this, that Daniel's talking about a period of 70 periods of 7 years. So, if you just do the math there, that's 7 times 70 is 490. So we're talking a rather lengthy period of time, 490 years, at the end of which, and here's the main point to get from verse 24, at the end of which certain things are going to be accomplished. These are all good things. All of these things are blessed things. These are things that Daniel's been longing for. These are things that he was probably wishing would happen right then. Hey, it's been 70 years, we've been in exile. So now you're going to bring in the kingdom, right? And the Lord's answer is, no, it's going to be 77s, and then we'll bring in the kingdom. Then to bring in the kingdom, it doesn't say bring in the kingdom, it says to put an end to sin. That's what the kingdom's going to be like when an end is put to sin. To atone for wickedness. To bring in everlasting righteousness. These are the great blessings for which everyone longs for. And we can say here too, just to make sure, since this hasn't happened yet, it's still our hope too. So we're gonna see how this relates to us as we go. Okay, so any questions to that point? Before we start verse 25, any question about what we've done thus far? We've been in this chapter for how many weeks now? I don't know. We started in the beginning of May, so I don't know if that's been 2 or 3 weeks. Maybe two. I think only two, and then today and tomorrow. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Do you have a question? Everything's crystal clear about through verse 24. Yes?
How do we know when the 490 years start?
Okay, how do we know when the 490 years start? The answer is coming up in verse 25. Any other questions? But yeah, that's going to be an obvious question. Here he kind of, verse 24 in a way is out of order chronologically, because he first says, here's what's going to happen when it's all over, and then he backs up and says, okay, now here's the timeline. There's going to be 7 of these 7s, and then there's going to be 62 of these 7s, and there's going to be 1 of these 7s. So we do have to remember, when we get through verse 27, we have to come back to 24 and say, okay, now that all that's happened, what do we have? Everlasting righteousness. Okay, let's go to verse 25. Know and understand this. From the issuing, you've got to pay attention here to all these words. From the issuing of the decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until the Anointed One, that's the same word as Messiah, actually it is in Hebrew, it's Messiah, the ruler, comes, there will be 7 sevens and 62 sevens. Okay, so we now have a starting point and an ending point for part of the 70 sevens. The starting point is a decree to rebuild Jerusalem. What does it say? Jerusalem and the temple. Is that what it says? Yeah, that's right. It doesn't say temple. That's very important. To rebuild and I knew there was an and in there. So rebuild and restore Jerusalem is the beginning point. And the ending point is what? Or the end of the... So the coming of the Messiah, right? Is that what it says? There's seven, and then there's 62, and by the way, I mean, if you're, some of you might have been abused as children with lots of prophecy charts and dates and calculations and all that, and if this is your first week here, I don't think it is for anybody. You think, oh no, what kind of did I get into? But we don't normally do this, but this is, we're just understanding the verse, and in this case, it'll help if we do have a chart.
What verse did you say the 70 sevens in?
24.
Okay. My translation doesn't say that.
Does it say 70 weeks?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. The weeks is an alternate translation for sevens. Actually, yeah. In the Hebrew, the word week comes from the same root as seven, which is natural because there's a week is comprised of seven parts. So the reason why it's better to translate it as seven is because a week can be misleading because we always think of week in terms of 7 days. If you say 77s, then it's a unit of seven. It could be a unit of 7 days or a unit of seven something else. And since in this case everyone agrees that it's a unit of 7 years, so you, in a way, it's easier to say 70 weeks, 7 weeks, 62 weeks. I think that's easier for me to say than 62 sevens. It starts to, and maybe we could, as long as we're all on the same page, that a week is a week of years.
So the Messiah comes, that's the second coming of Christ.
Is it?
We have an answer.
Well, and
she's not allowed to leave Revelation yet.
Right. Okay. And the reason, yeah, the problem with that question, which is we're all there, we're all asking that same question, and the reason why we do is because we do have later revelation, and the reason why I want to exclude that is so that we don't misunderstand something here. So, here it just says the Messiah comes. It doesn't say first or second coming. Once we get that figured, then we're going to need to tie it into later revelation. Because we do know there are two comings of the Messiah. So it's going to be one of the two. Here it just says the Messiah comes. Yes?
I have a much simpler mind. I'm just wondering about the missing week.
The missing week. Okay. So, in verse 25, it speaks of 7 sevens and 62 sevens. And then, in verse 26, it says, after the 62 sevens, and then verse 27, he will confirm a covenant with many for 1 seven. So, we've got a one over here. A one. Okay? So, those of you who are ahead of us will think, that sounds like the 7-year tribulation. Okay, that's true, but the word tribulation is not in Daniel.
That implies the division.
Let's just go back to verse 25. Well, I don't want to make things harder than they are, but I do want to. I want this to just kind of rise up, and I know some of you are way beyond this, but some of you aren't, and this is just go, wow, this is remarkable how this unfolded. So let's go back here. We need to talk about there is a beginning point, right? If you're going to have a timeline, you're going to say it's going to be 69 weeks of years, 483 years. When does it start? Well, it starts from the decree, and the word decree is actually a very generic Hebrew word, which is used, can mean all kinds of things. It's one of the first words we learned when Kelly and I studied Hebrew, davar. It's just a word, or a thing, or a matter, or from the word that goes forth. It doesn't have to be an official governmental proclamation. It could be. But so from the word that goes forth to restore and rebuild Jerusalem, when is that? There have been a lot of suggestions. There's at least five different ideas for when this might have happened. I don't think it really has to be that hard. The first thing that people go to is they say, this is the decree of Cyrus, the Persian, who is ruling right about this time. So maybe it would have been within a year. Cyrus is going to say, and it's recorded both the last verses of 2 Chronicles, it's the first verses of Ezra. So I'll just go to either one. They're both right here together. Here's what it says. In the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, in order to fulfill the word of the Lord spoken by Jeremiah, the Lord moved the heart of Cyrus, king of Persia, to make a proclamation throughout his realm and put it in writing. This is what Cyrus, king of Persia, says. The Lord, the God of heaven, has given me all the kingdoms of the earth and has appointed me to build a temple for him at Jerusalem in Judah. I don't think this is the one it's talking about, because this says he issued a decree to rebuild the temple. This here says it's a word to restore the city of Jerusalem. You say, but it kind of means the same, and let's just kind of overlook the difference and go with it. The problem with that is, when you flip ahead to Nehemiah, how does the book of Nehemiah open? Nehemiah, this is now, Nehemiah is about 80 years later, 538 to 445, whatever that is, 70 years maybe. Nehemiah is mourning and he's fasting because he gets a report that the wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates have been burned with fire. So has Jerusalem been restored? I mean, Cyrus doesn't say go back and build the walls and build the city. He says you can rebuild the temple. And these years later, the walls in the city are not rebuilt. That's what Nehemiah is all about, is going back to rebuild the city. And I think that's the better answer. That this time clock starts when the king of Persia says, Nehemiah, why are you so sad? What do you want? And Nehemiah says, please let me go back. I'm in 2:4. Please, if it pleases the king, let him send me to the city in Judah so that I can rebuild it. So that's explicit. Let me go back to rebuild it. And the king says, how long will it take? And here's some letters, and you're welcome to go. And Nehemiah goes and he rebuilds the city. So I think this is the best. There are other people who have other views. There's one other, the one that I would consider possible, and that is the return of Ezra. I'm not going to walk you through that. I mention it partly just so to be fair, and to say there are other possibilities, and also to say you could go with the one I'm convinced of, or another one, and both of them will get you here.
What year was that?
Yeah, so that's what I'm going to write down. 445, 444. we're not going to get too crazy on the math here, but
math never lies.
Math never lies. Yeah, the problem is getting to those points. So the people's interpretation of, right? I mean, how do we know this date, right? I mean, you've got to do a lot of calculations and computations. There's no, you know, master calendar that gets us back. 445 BC, of course.
From the science standpoint, the assumptions have to be correct. What you're saying. That only works if you not
right.
Make assumptions.
Right. That's right.
Okay, all you engineers.
Move on.
Time out. Yeah. Time out.
So, how does this work out? If we're going to do the math here, and we will, some of you will be disappointed if we don't. So, 69, and I don't know if I can do all this in my head, but 69 weeks. So each week is 7 years. So that's going to be 483 years. And how many years in a day? Or days, did I say days in a year? Okay, so multiply that in your head, somebody. Does somebody have a calculator? It's about 180,000, something like that. Dave's going to, are you going to do it? Actually, you know, you don't have to do that. Why am I doing that? I'm thinking of something else. Look, 483 years. So here's all you got to do to 445. Because 445 is a minus number, then it's going to get you to the year 38 AD minus. There's a missing year in here because there's no year zero, so that would add it would subtract one, right? Or you would add one. You would add one. 39 AD. Now, what do you know about the chronology of Jesus' life? That he was crucified. There's two major dates that scholars don't agree on. 30 or 33. So, if the 69 weeks brings you to AD 39, which it says here... there will be these 7 sevens and 62 sevens. And after the 62 sevens, the anointed one will be cut off. The Messiah will be cut off after. That's wrong, right? Jesus wasn't crucified after 39. There's nobody in the whole world that believes Jesus was crucified after 39. They're not sure about 30 or 33, or I know a guy who says 32, but nobody says 39. So, is this prophecy just wrong, or is there maybe another way of calculation? So, without getting too crazy on you, and we will cheat and go to Revelation, just because it's faster for me right now, and it's all here together. In Revelation chapter 11, verse 2, it talks about a period of 42 months. And then in verse 3, 42 months, by the way, is 3.5 years, right? 36 months would be 3 years, and 6 more months is... So 42 months is 3.5 years. Verse 3 talks about 1,260 days. 1,260 days is the same thing as 42 months if each month had 30 days in it. If you do 30 times 42, you come up with 1,260. So, and then you can look at, there's another reference in chapter 12, verse 6, which speaks about 1,260 days. And then there's another reference in 13:5, which speaks about 42 months. And here's the simple equation that I think we need to understand, and that is 3.5 years equals 42 months. Nobody's going to disagree on that. Equals 1,260 days. And that's, I think that comes right out of the passages we just read. Therefore, I know I was trying to make some of you happy here. Therefore, a month equals 30 days in the prophetic calendar. They're not, you know, saying, well, some months, you know, 30 days have September, April, June. They're just, it's simplified, 30 days in every month, which means a year equals 360 days, which is, you know, exactly what you have here, 42 months, 3.5 years, 360 days in a year, not counting, you know, leap year. Because you can't even say, right, you said, no, a year has 365 days. That's not right either. In any case, you have to have some makeup, as it were. So what it seems that we have from the Bible is that the prophetic calendar counted simply 30 days in a month, 360 days in a year. Now, if we come back to this here, and we say that 483 years are not exactly equal to our year of 365 and a quarter days, but they're actually 360 day long years, and this is the number I want to multiply. This is going to bring you to about, I don't know if my memory is good or not, but you can do the math and correct me if I'm wrong, but it's 173,000 and whatever,
that's right,
days, 880 days, right, divided by 365. See what we're doing here? 365, that's how long a year really is. A real solar year is 365, and then there's the leap days in there. We're not going to get too... I can give you a book to read, which walks you through all the math if you want. But that's going to give you how many actual years? 476 and a tiny fraction, right? Oh, that much? 0.38. Well, in any case, I'm not going to go through all... We're just going to see approximately now. Let's take our 476 real year, 365 day years, 476 to 445. What are we going to have? 445 minus 476. But then we got the year zero. So what do we do? Since the year zero, we add a year? 32. I'm just going to make the point. If you want to get the precise math out, I'll tell you where to go. Because there are leap days, but you don't add a leap day on the centuries. You know, did you know that? But you don't know. We just had the year 2000. The year 2000, did we have a leap day? We did. But in 1900 and 2100, there aren't leap days. Do you know that? Doesn't matter. But there's... in order for the calendars to line up precisely... So here's the point I want you to see is we're now in the ballpark. We're right there close. And if you read Harold Honer, it was a book, Chronological Aspects of the Life of Christ. He was a professor at Dallas Seminary until he passed away a year or so ago. He spells it all out. He's actually figured out to the day... 69 weeks ends on the very day, March 30th of the year 33 AD, of Jesus' triumphal entry to Jerusalem when the Messiah came to his people and they rejected him. Honer, H-O-E-H-N-E-R. Let me make a bigger point here. You say, could the ancient people have done this calculations? Did they know how long the year was, 365 days? Did they understand the prophetic year was 30 days in a month? I'm not sure. I think they probably knew more than we give them credit for. But I know this. They could get the ballpark. Oops. they could figure out it's been about 69 weeks, which I don't know how much reading or study you've done about what life was like in first century Israel. Were they expecting the Messiah? They were expecting the Messiah. There were a lot of messianic pretenders. Guys that came up and said, I'm the Messiah. Maybe they didn't use that exact word, but or I'm going to lead the rebellion against Rome. Follow me. Some of them are mentioned here in the scripture in like the book of Acts. Several of them were mentioned. Josephus, a first century writer, is talking about these guys who are rising up and people are following. There's a lot of expectation that the Messiah is going to come. The community who wrote the Dead Sea Scrolls lived at Qumran next to the Dead Sea, and they wrote some of the Dead Sea Scrolls. They preserved some of the other Dead Sea Scrolls, and they were writing commentaries on these things are going to be fulfilled in our day. They were ready. Why? Is that just cause? Or was it because they knew that Daniel had spoken of this period of time, and they knew, maybe they didn't know exactly when, but they knew real close. They knew, of course, Daniel 2 and Daniel 7, which spoke about four kingdoms, and they could count. Yeah, we had Babylon, then we had Medo-Persia, then we had Greece, and now we're in the fourth kingdom. So, clearly we're in the fourth kingdom, but more precisely, and this is what Daniel 9 does for us. Daniel 2 and 7 give us, generally, we have four kingdoms, and then the kingdom of God comes. Daniel 9 says 7 weeks, 62 weeks, after which the Messiah comes. So, whether they could nail it down to the day. Now, let's bring that back in here too. With Jesus' triumphal entry, you have all these people. How, we don't know how big the crowds were, but there was a lot of crowds who came out to greet Jesus, and what were they saying about him? They're saying, welcome to the king. They're saying, you're the son of David. And son of David doesn't just mean you're one of his kids. It means you're the long-awaited king.
Did they all think about this timeline? Can I mention any, like Peter, he thought Jesus was coming back in his day. He said he'd be, is that not right? I mean,
the coming back part is not in view yet. And what we're just talking about the first coming,
okay,
of the Messiah. Until the 62 weeks until the Messiah comes. And so that's not tied into when he returns. Was there another hand? Yes.
Verse 26. How do they handle that the Messiah will be cut off and have nothing? If they know that...
Okay, let's hold that thought, because I want to finish the triumphal entry thought. We're getting there for sure. The triumphal entry you have, and I'm not saying I'm proving any, I'm just saying this is very suggestive that all these people come out and say, Jesus, you're the king, you're the Messiah, you're the son of David. And then Jesus says, you know what, Jesus, how does Jesus respond? This is interesting. Luke 19. Jesus hears the acclaim of the crowd, but he knows their hearts because he weeps over them. He weeps over Jerusalem, and he says, if you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace. But now it is hidden from your eyes. Keep reading here. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They'll dash you to the ground, you and the children within you. They will not leave one stone or another because you did not recognize the time of God.